You're listening to Food Integrity Now with your host, Carol Grevet.
Hello and welcome to Food Integrity Now. I'm Carol Grevet. I'm your host today. At Food Integrity Now, we envision a healthy, sustainable world, a world where our food is free of GMOs and harmful chemicals. If you share this vision, go to our website and join us. Our website is foodintegritynow.org, and you can also find us on Facebook at Food Integrity Now and on Twitter, and we also have a YouTube channel. We appreciate you listening today. My guest today is Zen Honeycutt. Zen is the founder and director of Moms Across America, and she is also the mother of three boys. In creating Moms Across America, she established a forum for moms to reach out and encourage one another to share information about what's happening in our food supply. Moms Across America's intention is to raise awareness and support moms with solutions to eat GMO-free and to demand GMO labeling locally and nationally. This week, Moms Across America got a meeting with the EPA Roundup Glyphosate Review Board. This review of Roundup only happens every 15 years, and it's happening this year. Today, we're going to be speaking with Zen about what happened at that meeting with the EPA on Tuesday. Zen, welcome to Food Integrity Now.
Thank you so much for having me on the show. I appreciate it very much.
Well, we really wanted to get you on the show today. First of all, thank you for having the tenacity in getting the meeting with the EPA. I personally listened to this conference call of the meeting, and I was extremely impressed by the way you presented the information to the EPA and also the way you stood up for all of us with your requests and demands in recalling glyphosate. You just did an outstanding job.
Thank you, Carol.
I wanted to first talk about the organization Moms Across America. Can you let us know when you founded this, why you founded this, and just briefly about what this organization is?
Sure. Well, after Prop 37, I want to acknowledge Pam Larry that really led the way for all of us. During the completion evening of that election, I was sitting in the back of the room, and there was a leader in the front of the room, and she was acknowledging everybody for their contribution. And something occurred to me. I thought to myself, why am I sitting in the back of the room and she's in the front of the room? You know, my role in this had been pretty convenient. So I started to ask myself, what if I took on that I'm the one, you know, a leadership role? You know, of course not me by myself, but what if I said to myself, I'm going to make a difference? My actions would be completely different than I'm just going to help out. Right, and pass out flyers now and then, which is nothing wrong with that. But I really looked at what could I do to make a difference and how could I let as many people know about GMOs in the shortest amount of time as possible. And I asked myself, well, you know, how could we just nationwide have an event? And at first the March on Washington came to mind, but then, you know, I thought moms and strollers and babies were not all going to go to Washington. So the idea of 4th of July parades came up. They're in hometowns, there's the porta-potties and the police and the permits are already there, and we can just join in. So I got the idea of creating a group of called Moms Across America to join in to 4th of July parades all across the nation and let thousands of people know locally and millions of people know nationally in a single day about GMOs. And it happened. Moms, all 172 mom leaders across the nation and supporters, lots of dads too and kids, marched in 44 states last year, and when I posted the website and Facebook page in February, by June, we had a reach on Facebook of 300,000 a week.
Wow, that's wonderful.
And it was just wonderful, because moms care, and they share, and it's grown to not just be 4th of July parades, but World Food Day events, movie nights. We've had over 369 events in the first 9 months alone. And, you know, the algorithms on Facebook have changed now. Now it's you know, a couple thousand per post, but still 200,000 or so a week. You know, so we're reaching a lot of people and moms. My favorite thing about this is that moms are being empowered in their communities to take a stand and to speak to their PDA, to speak at libraries, to gather a group and to say, you know, these are our children. This is our food, and this is our country, And we can do this. We can make a change in our food system and in the health and future of America. So we now have 220 leaders in 44 states and steadily growing.
Oh, that's wonderful. You know, I interviewed Dr. Vandana Shiva about a year and a half ago. And one of the questions I asked her was, how are we going to get out of this mess? And she said, I think the most powerful force we have is the mothers.
Yeah. And the Dalai Lama said, Western women are going to change the world.
Yeah. So,
and I believe it, that time is now.
Yeah, it definitely is now. So let's talk about the meeting with the EPA. You got a meeting with the EPA because Roundup glyphosate is going to be up for review again this year, and that only happens every 15 years. So how did this transpire?
Well, what happened was, to go back a little bit, I wanted to get my children. I have three boys, two with life-threatening allergies. One had autism symptoms. And at one point when the allergies were particularly bad, I wanted to get my children tested for glyphosate because thanks to Anthony Samsel and Dr. Stephanie Seneff and Dr. Huber, their information about glyphosate clearly had me see that, you know, when something destroys the gut bacteria, you're going to weaken the immune system, you're going to have more allergies, more autoimmune issues, more asthma, more autism, and I would like to get my kids tested to see if that is, in fact, you know, the cause for it. And I was told I could not test my children for glyphosate by numerous doctors and labs. And that just made me more determined to do it. So I pretty much pestered everybody in the cause that I could. And a dear friend, Howard Vligor, had a friend named Dr. Hemming, who had a lab in Missouri, who finally agreed to invest in glyphosate testing. And so last late fall or early winter, we were able to ask people to please send in their urine and water themselves and get testing. Moms Across America didn't have any money to pay for people's testing or do a formal study. So when people were sending in their water and urine to do that, Henry Rollins from Sustainable Pulse called me and said, had you thought about breast milk testing? And I was like, well, you know, we've thought about testing lots of things, but, you know, where are we going to get the money for it? I said, but that's a great idea. And he said, well, you know, I think I can find somebody to pay for some initial breast milk testing. So I called the breast milk banks, and they would not donate their milk. I mean, even allow me to buy it. I applied to do that, and they wouldn't allow it. So I then called a bunch of our moms, and I said, listen, we need to do this. This would be the first time in the world. We need you to FedEx it. Would you mind paying for your own shipping? And they generously did. And so within a few weeks and $1,200 of sponsorship money or, you know, funding, we got it done for the first time in the world. And the results were quite shocking. They were, you know, the results were 76, 99, and 166 parts per million. And just to put that in perspective, that's 760 to 1,600 times higher than is allowable in the drinking water in Europe. And that 166 parts per million, the highest amount, translates to 0.16 parts per million, which is higher than the 1/10 of a part per million, which has been scientifically shown to destroy gut bacteria. So our children are ingesting breast milk with a chemical in it that has been scientifically proven to be an antibiotic and to destroy gut bacteria. This is simply not acceptable at all for mothers.
Yeah, and a lot of people don't even understand that glyphosate is a patented, powerful antibiotic. And and we're ingesting that at a low dose every day if we're eating
continuously. And in addition, it's an endocrine disruptor, and that's been scientifically proven in numerous studies. We walked into the EPA meeting with stacks of studies, and it's also been shown on the EPA fact sheet to cause kidney damage, and we know this from the 20,000 young men who have died in El Salvador from spraying glyphosate on sugarcane. So anyway, we found this chemical in our breast milk. We got upset about it, of course. We, you know, published the report. It's not a study, it's a report of the 10 mothers' results, and sent it to the EPA, and they said, you know, simply said back, we're working on a response. And for a month, they did not respond. And so we finally said, you know what, we've got to get their attention. So we did a five-day campaign of moms called the EPA to recall Roundup. Because when a product doesn't do what it says it's going to do, which is Monsanto's lead scientist said that it would not bioaccumulate, it would not go into any other body tissue or blood or any other fluids in the body, it would simply pass harmlessly through the urine, and that quote is in the report, it simply does not do that. It is now concentrated at high levels in the breast milk, which points to bioaccumulation, strongly points to bioaccumulation. And so when a product doesn't do what it says it's going to do, it needs to be recalled. That's just common sense for us moms. So we called, and by Wednesday, one of the lead people in the glyphosate review board there said that 10,000 women had called, and could we please slow down the volume of calls? And by Friday, they asked us to please stop so that they could do their job. And our response was, what your job is to recall Roundup. And it's simply not acceptable that they responded back to us that the levels that were found in breast milk were not considered unsafe. And so they did finally agree to, or they actually suggested to meet with principals. So it just so happened, thanks to Baker Creek Heirloom Seeds, who sponsored me to fly out to their Comstock Ferry and to speak at March Against Monsanto in New York, that I was going to be on the East Coast. So I thought, well, I could go down on Tuesday after Memorial Day and meet with them. And they agreed. And it just so happened, we found out later, that it was Rachel Carson's birthday that day.
Wonderful. Amazing.
The author of Silent Spring. Really, I think, amazing. So we had 11 people go there. We had a doctor, PhD scientist, two scientists actually, two lawyers, a U.S. Marine, several moms, a physical therapist, very eloquent, informed people to support the meeting, and it was simply very intense and wonderful to be together with them, to meet with the EPA.
So what did you learn about the EPA's process of reviewing chemicals as to their safety? What did you learn?
Well, yeah, so I learned that they test on animals and they find what they perceive is a safe level, you know, say on rats. They divide that amount by 100. And then they divide it again by 10 to account for children's vulnerabilities. So they believe that their safe allowable levels are far below what could actually cause damage. So I learned that they are extremely confident that glyphosate is safe, that they have all kinds of studies, hundreds of studies that they say, to prove that. And they simply feel completely justified in their actions and their inactions. Around this new information.
I actually heard them say they review hundreds of studies as a part of their human health risk assessment. And you asked about the data they review and who submits that data. What was their response?
Their response was that the majority of the data does come from the chemical companies that are submitting their application.
Isn't that a bit like the fox guarding the hen house?
Absolutely. It's just simply not acceptable to us, especially when we're submitting studies, and I've spoken to them over the phone about studies, and they don't respond that they are actually considering it, or they say, well, we can't consider that because there's all kinds of reasons not to. And they admitted to me that they have a certain protocol for studies, right, to be accepted in the review. They have to accept studies. They have to accept data from everyone. But whether or not they actually include it in their review is a whole other ball game. And they have protocols for that. But the ones that they actually review don't have to meet all of the protocols. They get to pick and choose what protocol they actually follow or not. And so it really is up to their discretion what studies they'll include in their review. And it's very concerning to us that they cannot be actually including the studies that show harm. Otherwise, they wouldn't be making the decisions that they're making today. They wouldn't have increased the amount 30 to 300 times higher this past May in 2013. You know, levels from, I believe corn was about 2 or 3 parts per million of glyphosate, and they increased it to 13 parts per million. Coincidentally, 6 months after that, Monsanto petitioned them to raise it to that exact amount. And 6 months later, a corn report came out, which was very controversial on our website. It was just a report from a farmer that they tested corn, and they found 13 parts per million of corn of glyphosate in their corn. And it just so happens that was the same exact amount. Isn't that a coincidence?
Yeah, I heard you ask them that. And what was their response to that?
They didn't really comment about being petitioned by chemical companies to raise the allowable levels. And they, in fact, said that they had plenty of studies during the reapproval process of raising the levels to prove that that was safe. But I think they completely missed my point that if their original assessment of, say, 2 parts per million of glyphosate was acceptable on corn, then that process of coming up with that decision is completely negated by any other process which comes up with a higher level, which is, you know, 10 or 12 times higher. You see what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
So that whole process of coming up with that acceptable level has to be thrown out. And they're not doing that. They're simply just looking at more information from chemical companies that says it's safe, and they're accepting it. And it's not at all in the best interest of human beings. I did a demonstration showing that what they are, I drew a circle and a piece of the pie and all that, showing that what they are protecting us from is simply what they know, which is a very small sliver of a circle of information, a very small slice of that. There's information that we don't know about chemicals, and then there's a lot of what we don't know. We're not even aware. It's like a blind spot for us about what chemicals will do when they come into interaction with other enzymes, chemicals, you know, toxins from the environment. There's a lot of information that we simply don't know about chemicals, just like we didn't know about DDT. DDT had safety testing at one point.
Mm-hmm.
It was considered completely safe, and they allowed it into the environment, and for 30 years, the reports of harm and death, and then they finally, saw that those reports of harm and death from the people, from the environment, negated their original studies, and that's where I believe we're at now.
When I asked Dr. Don Huber, Professor Emeritus, Plant Pathology, Purdue University, highly regarded scientist, about the toxicity of glyphosate compared to DDT, and he said that DDT was a pittance toxicity-wise compared to glyphosate.
That is just devastating. And DDT was in the environment for 30 years and is still in the environment. It's coming up in Washington. Birds are dying from DDT toxins in their body because worms that are especially deep burrowing are going down into the ground, you know, several feet and coming back up with DDT in their system, and the birds are eating them and they're dying. I learned this from the Beyond Pesticides conference in Oregon just a little while ago. It is prevalent in our society, and we have years to come of this toxin in our environment, not just DDT, but glyphosate and many other toxins. And that's why we moms stated in the meeting that we're not just here to recall Roundup, to revoke the license of glyphosate, but to stop this toxic treadmill of chemical cocktails that they are continuously replacing and putting on our food and in our water and in our air and in our rainwater. It's simply unacceptable. And the reasoning that we are using for this is that they tell us it's safe, right? And we say it's not safe, and you actually don't have evidence of that because you've never tested it on human beings. And they say, well, it's not ethical to test on human beings. And we understand that. But if it's not ethical to test a chemical on human beings, then it's not ethical to allow it in human beings, period. At any level, no exposure, no dose. That's the only way that you can protect children from what we know and what we don't know, and what we don't know, we don't know about these chemicals in interaction with our enzymes in our body and other chemicals in the world. It's simply not acceptable. The entire process must stop.
Hmm. So what were some of your talking points about the concerns about glyphosate when you presented them to the EPA? I'd like you to share a few of those.
Sure. Well, one of them is the concentration or the perceived bioaccumulation of glyphosate in breast milk was never actually considered before in any of the other studies. So that is a huge issue. That negates their current studies because bioaccumulation was never considered. And those levels are much too high and cannot be, those levels, it's simply not acceptable. And it's not perceived. So was not considered before. And the allowable levels, they say that 1.7 milligrams times the body weight is safe for human consumption. And we want to know, does that include infants? You know, does that include bioaccumulation? And what have their studies been around that? And they, you know, they did not have an answer for us on that. Of course, we questioned the current validity of the safety testing. As I just mentioned, DDT was considered safe at one point, and then there was reports back of harm and death, and that's where we believe we are now. We are the people, the mothers, with the front lines, with their moms seeing our children with rashes around their faces, with sudden autism symptoms at 8 years old, with allergies, food intolerances, you know, all kinds of reactions. There's actually 24 7 million children now with food intolerances in America. There's 6.7 million children with possibly life-threatening food allergies. And I say life-threatening because not only is a peanut allergy life-threatening, you know, sudden anaphylactic, but an allergy like carrageenan that my son had, which is a seaweed food thickener, over time, unresolved, if you just slap a cream on it and ignore the rash, that rash is a sign of inflammation in the gut. And that leads to colitis, to stomach ulcers, to stomach cancer. It could lead to actual death. I mean, the cancer could spread. And so the allergies are much more serious than many people think.
Glad you brought up carrageenan, because that is a substance that there's a lot of controversy around, because it's even allowed in some organic foods like almond milk and in other products. And I did a show with Dr. Russell Blaylock, retired neurosurgeon, and he said it is clearly a known carcinogen, and it is also an excitotoxin. And an excitotoxin, what that does is when you ingest this, it can excite the brain cells, and it can excite the brain cells to death. So it's a very, very serious substance. And again, it's allowed in some organic foods. And we really need to be careful and start reading labels. And if you see carrageenan, don't buy it.
Yeah, it's an organic lunch meat. It's in toothpaste. It's in sauces and creams and hot dogs. It has made life very difficult for my family. My children have allergies to wheat, gluten, carrageenan, eggs, dairy, nuts. You know, all kinds of allergies, but thankfully, since going organic, they have gotten much better. My son's walnut allergy decreased from a 19 down to a 0.2, so his allergy is no longer life-threatening, and his carrageenan allergy seems to have completely disappeared. His stomach is healing, and my son's autism symptoms went away. After 6 weeks, he had levels of glyphosate at 8.7 parts per billion at the time of the autism symptoms and the fungus in his gut and the gut dysbiosis diagnosed by a doctor. We sought out the last remaining types of food which could be contributing glyphosate to his diet and destroying his, you know, immune system and his gut bacteria, and that was gluten-free bread and canned chicken. You know, that was not organic. So we eliminated those and we did not eat out. And within 6 weeks, his glyphosate levels were no longer detectable and his autism symptoms were gone. His red rash around his mouth was gone. His behavior was better again. He wasn't hitting us anymore. His grades went back up from D's to back up to A's. And he's an absolutely normal, high-performing student and in wonderful spirit.
Uh-huh.
So, we have a lot of evidence that this is exactly what is causing gut problems in our children and therefore immune system issues for millions of children.
I know at the end of your meeting or near the end of your meeting, you had a list of demands or requests of the EPA. What were some of those requests?
So those requests are, number one, will you recall Roundup? And they said, we cannot answer that at this time. Number two, will you revoke the license of glyphosate? And they had the same answer. Number three, will you include the scientific study of glyphosate that Moms Across America got funded, United States of Health got funded? for breast milk that we will be doing a full scientific study in your review. And their answer was yes, if it meets all the protocols. And they did agree to give us those protocols so that we could, in fact, make sure that our scientists were meeting them, although we are completely confident that our scientists, you know, will be doing that. Number four, would they issue a cease and desist of the practice of spraying glyphosate as a drying agent? A lot of people don't know this, but glyphosate is sprayed on rice, wheat, corn, sugar, soy. It's sprayed on dried peas and beans. It's sprayed on our garbanzo beans. It's in our hummus. Mm. It's sprayed on tea.
Sorghum.
It's sprayed on
stevia.
Yeah. Sorghum. It's sprayed on many, many crops as a drying agent simply to speed up the harvesting process, and we then ingest it. And we just think this practice is completely unnecessary and contributing to great harm to our children's immune systems. So we asked them to stop that, and they said they could not comment on it at this time. And then we asked them to expand their study and do a full safety review, including testing on human blood cells, not humans, but on human blood cells, you know, either cord tissue or cord blood or just, you know, human blood. And you have that be the new norm for reviews of all pesticides to include human tissue and blood. And they said that they were working on developing something like that, but they did not agree definitively to do that or not. The sixth one was to make a public statement simply saying, regarding new evidence of glyphosate in breast milk, we are currently recommending that women attempting to or could become pregnant, pregnant women and breastfeeding mothers, eat organic food and or feed their baby organic formula until further studies on glyphosate are complete. And they would not even agree to do that.
Mm-hmm.
So we are, you know, pretty dissatisfied with their end of the meeting. We are happy that they met with us for 2 hours instead of 1 hour. We are happy that they agreed to ask Monsanto for their breast milk studies, which we believe that they are conducting right now if they've not already completed with them. And they did agree to give us the protocols and include our study in the review. So, but what that simply means for us is that they're agreeing to wait until we get studies done. They're not taking any action to commission any studies at all. And in fact, they have a child health study that they have done, and we looked it up. It's around the realm of $178 million of taxpayers' money, which is going towards 13 different labs, something 44 different types of testing on chemicals and the impact of children in our health today. But not one of those chemicals is glyphosate. And they sat there and told us that they can't do it for some reason. They don't have the right kind of testing, or it's going to take time to develop it. And it was extremely frustrating.
Well, that's got to be frustrating. If you were able to get the glyphosate levels tested, and they are this huge organization, and they don't have the means to test for glyphosate, I think that's a crock.
Yeah, and their other point was that the 10, you know, tests that we got done, they said that they're not validated. They're, you know, not a certain type of testing and all that. And I said, well, then validate them. You know what I mean? Or you do your own type of testing that's validated. Whatever you need to do, they can't sit there and tell me that it's not real because it's not validated, or, you know, a certain type of testing that they need to have done. I mean, when somebody calls in a bomb threat to a school, they don't sit around and wait to validate it. They take action.
Mm-hmm.
If there's perceived harm, if there's a threat to children, the government and our offices and our public protectors take action. And they simply they didn't even respond for a month to this. So, you know, we moms are going to keep going and do whatever we feel could be effective. We're going to go to the higher-ups. They did say that they would recommend us to meet with higher-ups at the EPA. We are going to look at, you know, other methods of government that could intervene with the EPA and, you know, force the hand to make a difference there. And we moms, of course, are going to continue sharing and talking with our friends and family. We will be marching in 4th of July parades all across the nation, hopefully reaching millions of people. All it takes is even 4 people could get into a parade. I mean, we'd prefer 20 to 40 people, but even 4 people, if you got into a parade, 3 people deep, a parade for 3 miles, reaches 49,000 people. We can just spread the word like wildfire about GMOs. And when people find out about GMOs, they find out that they're genetically engineered to withstand pesticides. They are a chemical delivery system,
mm-hmm.
or they're genetically engineered to be a pesticide. And everybody, you know, maybe not everybody understands GMOs, but everybody gets that pesticides kill things.
Right.
So we believe that when moms hear that, they really will get that this is something to avoid. GMOs are something to avoid. Pesticides are something to avoid. Eat organic. And then we start making a difference that way as well.
And I think what you said is really important, because when I'm speaking with people and educating them about GMOs, it may be difficult for people to understand the whole process of the gene gun and the insertion and why this is dangerous, but everybody gets that pesticides are a problem. So if,
yes.
if we can really shift the conversation a little bit over to that there's two types of things going on here. One is HT, and that's herbicide tolerant, and one is BT, and that's the corn and the cotton that produces its own herbicide.
Yeah, it is a pesticide.
Right.
And so here's the thing about pesticides that I found out at the Beyond Pesticide Conference. I forgot the scientist's name, but it's well documented. He said that our IQ of our human race has steadily been on the incline, right? Our health and our IQ has been increasing over the course of history up until 20 years ago, which is coincidentally when we introduced GMOs and pesticides at a high levels on our food. And suddenly, our IQ started to decline, and also our health as well. And we're now at the point where we have lost, on average, 7 points of IQ in America. And that translates to, instead of 6 million people who are mentally damaged, beyond repair, we now have 9 million. And we have, I believe it was, he said, at least 3 million less gifted and talented. So we are officially not only dumbing America, but the U.S. health reports show that our children, for the first time in this generation, in history, our children are not going to outlive their parents this generation. They are sicker. They are not as intelligent. They're not growing in intelligence. And that means that because mothers don't know what's in their food, this is the outcome. This is what's happening. Because historically, if you think about it, mothers have been the ones to decide what the food is. The father provided and protected us, but the mothers decided what food the community was giving. If they gave poison berries or rotten food, the entire tribe would perish. So mothers have historically been the ones to actually maintain the long-term viability of a culture. And all of a sudden, we don't know what's in our food. And look what's happening. IQ is declining and health is declining. Mothers absolutely have to know what's in our food. We have to be able to trust our instincts and take care of our families and take care of our communities.
Oh, I agree 100%. Well, what type of follow-up are you planning to have regarding your request of the EPA?
Well, we are currently, we've just sent them the list of questions, which they could not answer all of the questions in the meeting. So we have a one-week follow-up date with them about all of those questions. We will be steadfast in our resolve to get answers from them, because they work for us and we deserve answers. They have said that they will give us the protocol for the scientific study, which will begin in June. So we will be passing that on to the scientists. We haven't completely created our next call to action around the EPA. We have moms calling for a lawsuit. We have moms calling for a nurse-in at the EPA, showing up and just not moving until they give us another response. We have moms who say, you know what, let's go to higher-ups and go to Congress and health committees and intervene, go to Michelle Obama. We're going to be formulating the next course of action. We have a call with the leaders tomorrow. And all I can say is that if you are still moved to call them, to write them, to send your testimonials, I think it's very powerful to have your testimonial in writing to the EPA and just flood them with our testimonials. They have to accept all of our testimonials. And if you have doctor's records as well, if you have a doctor record that shows that you had an allergy like my son at a level of 19, and then you submit a letter saying I went organic at such a date, and then you have doctor's records that show 6 months later you got better, the only difference was that you went organic, then it is, you know, it shows a strong correlation to avoiding the pesticides, which is, you know, the number one pesticide is Roundup. And accumulating data like that shows expert witnesses, thousands of witnesses, equals historical fact.
Okay, and in just a few minutes, we'll give that information to our listeners, so where they can send this information and how they can find out more about your organization. But I have another question. Did you have any meetings with any higher-ups after the EPA meeting? Were you able to meet with any senators or congressmen?
We met with Rustin, I believe, Byrne is his last name. He's a chief advisor to Senator Stabenow, who is the head of the Senate Ag Committee. So that was very interesting because he does have some influence over the EPA, and he did promise to keep an eye on them, to, you know, to communicate with them, to impress upon them the urgency of including our breast milk study in the review. And he will bring this to the Senate Ag Committee's attention. And he did suggest to involve the HELP Committee, and specifically Senator Boxer. She is the head of one of the committees that can have, can actually intervene with the EPA and can have a hearing. So that's a possibility of a next course of action, is to actually involve Senator Boxer in demanding that we have a hearing regarding glyphosate in breast milk and go forward with having a ban because of that. But the fact is, you know, I hate to say this because I want this done now. We're breastfeeding our children now. But the fact is that until the scientific study is done with full, you know, irrefutable evidence that it's in our breast milk, we may not have much of a chance for anybody to decisively, you know, make any changes in the government. So that's the only thing that I am very hesitant to suggest, you know, that we wait for anything. You know, I would like a lawsuit now. But the fact is that what they will consider is really only scientific evidence.
Right. Well, so the bottom line is eat organic and non-GMO.
Yes. Yeah, until then. Yes. And tell all your friends and family. We really encourage everyone to join into a hometown parade and carry a sign that says Moms Across America March to Label GMOs, to Google GMOs, Stop Spraying Roundup. You know, go to Moms Across America website, go to our blog and our data page. You know, find out more and share about it. And simply, you know, I mean, we can demand that local hardware stores stop selling Roundup. That's one of the number one uses of glyphosate. Is it's even far greater than actually on farms, is the use in backyards, because they can use whatever amount they want. It's not regulated in any way.
Right.
So there are a lot of things we can do. You can also go to your local school and demand that they stop spraying Roundup or any type of pesticides on your school's yard. My school stopped. They don't do that anymore. So they get Boy Scouts to come and weed.
Wonderful.
You know, it's absolutely possible. So in my preschool went GMO-free and organic. I did their I got their budget for them, and I planned out a meal plan, and it's $123 under budget. You can find that meal plan on our website under About as well, and GMO Info. And so
why don't you give your website? People don't know that yet. Give us all your information.
Sure. MomsAcrossAmerica.com is the website, and if you click on blog, you can find data, you can find the glyphosate test report. If you click on about, you can find GMO info, you can find great videos from Jeffrey Smith, Robin O'Brien, Anthony Samsell, Dr. Lauren Pang, myself, just talking about GMOs in 6 minutes. You can find the preschool snack plan there. If you click on action, you can actually get your urine tested for glyphosate. You can still do that through the lab, your urine or your water. And there's just a lot of it. There's a forum there where you can talk with people. There's a lot of valuable information on the website. And on our Facebook page is where we post our campaigns, like our events. But on the website, if you click on events, that's where you can find a local parade to join into. And if there isn't a local parade nearby you, you can click on USA Parade List and see a list of maybe 500-something parades that we have found, towns that do have parades, and you can sign up to be a host for one of those parades. And if you know somebody in one of those towns, if you look at the list all across the country and you happen to know somebody in one of those towns, please email them and say, hey, listen, there's a parade in your town. All you need is, you know, 10 or 20 people to join into the parade, and you could let tens of thousands of people know about this GMO issue. And so that is what we need to do, is just to rise up in our local towns, be the one, say, I'm going to let thousands of people know about this, because without those local leaders, the chemical companies and their billions and billions of dollars of influence will continue to run our country. And it's simply not acceptable to us.
Well said. Well, thank you, Zen, for being a guest on our show and for all the great work you're doing with Moms Across America. And again, you can find out more about this organization at momsacrossamerica.com or on their Facebook page, Moms Across America. And thank you.
And you can email us. I'm sorry. You can email us your testimonial. I forgot to mention that at momsnoroundup, moms, M-O-M-S-N-O, roundup, R-O-U-N-D-U-P. And Nanette is collecting all of the testimonials, which she will then forward to the EPA. So we please invite you to send your testimonials that we can forward on to the EPA.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
And I will include all of those links on the show page for this show, so it'll make it easy for our listeners to find you. So thank you to all our listeners. And if you like what you hear, please go to foodintegritynow.org and join us. Together, we can make a difference. Thanks for listening.
Thank you, Carol. Bye-bye.